Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Abundant Living for Moms. Today, we're talking about discipline, and we're talking about discipline from a different perspective. I know, depending on who you talk to, they have different views on it. Discipline for some people is something they would rather shy away from, and for some, they see it as a way to make sure that the person who's erring, and in this case, children, know for a fact that that's unacceptable and they're going to be severely punished for it. So no matter where you fall on the, you know, on the spectrum of what discipline means, how you should be doing it, how you should be disciplining your children or those around you, there's a fundamental reason why we discipline. And I think it's important for us to keep that in the back of our mind when we get into that, because we're going to have to discipline our children. We're going to have to correct them. We're going to have to teach them, you know, proper behavior, what is expected, both from a family level to a community level to a national level to a world level. So children absolutely need to know how to behave. And that's why they're part of your unit. They're your children in your family. You're supposed to offer them the best start to life that they can get. And children need this. However, I don't believe that discipline necessarily is meant to just be punitive for the sake of it, because when parents punish so severely many times, that child hasn't necessarily learned anything about what you want him or her to learn. So with that said, we're going to jump into what does disciplining actually mean? How should we discipline correctly? And I want to bring in a term called positive discipline so that we can talk about all of those things. Okay, so in my view, discipline is about correcting a behavior. It's about letting somebody know that a particular behavior is not expected and to let them know what that preferred behavior is. Now, for children, that's essentially what they need to learn. They need to learn that a particular behavior, set of behaviors, or set of habits is not acceptable, and they need to know what the correct behavior is or the preferred behavior. So if you keep that in mind, discipline is not necessarily punitive, which just means, you know, causing the child quote unquote pain, because that in itself doesn't necessarily teach the lesson. And this brings us to the conversation around spanking or no spanking. You know, a lot of people would sometimes quote the particular verse that says, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. And while that is very true, the rod doesn't necessarily mean a cane or doesn't necessarily mean whipping somebody. You know, we have to remember that the context where things are written sometimes can be very different from the context within which we're reading it now. And back then, you know, the rod was used to kind of, you know, get the sheep to go where the shepherd wanted them to go. So that was used as an example to help the audience at that time to understand what that particular verse meant, right? So you're supposed to guide, you know, sheep, they don't smack the sheep, right? The shepherd doesn't do that. They just use the stick to kind of let the sheep know what direction they should be going in. So it's the same concept I bring to disciplining, and positive disciplining for me, it's about guiding children and correcting them. You will need to correct bad behavior. There's no doubt about it. Your children are going to do certain things that they shouldn't do. Yes, you're going to have to repeat yourself sometimes several times. However, how you correct makes a big difference between a child who understands why he or she is being corrected versus a child who doesn't. Now, because they understand why they're being corrected and what you want them to do instead, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean they will always do that behavior. That's why they're children, and that's why you're there to continuously reinforce what it is that you want. So with that said, let's remember that when we're disciplining, I want us to start keeping certain things in the back of our mind. Discipline is not about just punitive for the sake of it. And when I say punitive, those are the people who lash out so much. And many times, that's a parent who overreacts or is reacting from a place of their own emotion. So if a parent in a particular situation feels embarrassed or frustrated or angry or just feels horrible, or maybe what that child has done has triggered something in the parent from their own childhood or from a trauma they went through, sometimes those are all the things that go into the reaction that parents met out to the child. So it doesn't fit the crime many times, you know. But if a parent is not aware that their own emotions get into the mix of things, it can be very hard to take it Let me rephrase. It can be very hard to not take it out on the child, but the child doesn't deserve all of those emotions. So because you've had a hard day at work, or you've been really stressed out, or you were severely punished for that same thing as a child, and therefore you had that trigger, and when your child misbehaved, that's the first thing you thought about is to react. Your child doesn't deserve that. Your child needs to have you as calm as possible. You know, of course, we know that a lot of intentional parenting and positive disciplining and thinking about parenting from a higher level, it takes work. If it was easy, everybody would be an intentional parent, right? So we need to know that it's not easy. It takes more intentionality, and it needs you to be at a level where you want to get better. So when you want to get better, that means there's certain things you have to unlearn and certain things you need to relearn. So we're talking about unlearning the idea that discipline is purely punitive for the sake of it. So it's not just about punishing a child and letting him know that you will not take that. Okay, fair enough. Your child should know you won't take that. But let me ask you the next question. Does your child then know what you actually want them to do? Without assuming, don't assume that your child knows what you expect. Many times parents just think that, you know, the child should know, but the child should know what my values are. If you have never taken the time to talk about it in a way that your child understands and comprehends and can tell you back, then don't assume that your child knows what you expect him or her to do. So in parenting, we cannot assume. In parenting, we must take the time to always have talked through it. And I think I've been surprised sometimes, even with so many of the things that I talk to my children about, there'll be certain behaviors that when I react to it, they kind of say, well, I didn't know that. You know, and because I've come and this training to be intentional is an ongoing game. You never get to the point where you're like, I'm a fully intentional parent and everything that happens falls perfectly under my intentional parenting box. No, things will happen. Seasons will change. Your child changes. You change. Sometimes you move countries. The child moves school. So a lot of things can happen in the background that will test you and push you. And that's when the true test of intentionality comes back up, because you then have to realize, am I reacting in a way or behaving in a way that is actually effective? You have to be able to ask yourself that question in life in general, but definitely on the journey of intentional parenting, you want to be able to constantly be asking yourself, the way I'm behaving and the way I'm showing up, does this fit the model of parenting I want to be doing? And if it's not, you need to check yourself, because sometimes, let's be honest, there's so much going on in your life that's what your children are getting, right? So I want us to step through. I did a little bit of an acronym in terms of using the word discipline. And what should you be thinking about instead when you're actually disciplining? First of all, discipline, as we've talked about quite a bit, is to correct a behavior. So if you think of it that way, it's to correct a behavior. And that means you want to replace it with the correct behavior. And you want to make sure that your child understands why, or at least understands what it is that you want them to do. Obviously, keep in mind their love language. Keep in mind your parenting style. Keep in mind what else might be going on. Because what you want and what you expect, let's be honest, is it the best? Is it the right way? And of course, as a parent, you imagine that should be the right way. But sometimes when you listen to your child about maybe they're doing something a different way, if you ever take the time to listen to them or ask them, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this way repeatedly sometimes? You'll be amazed that it's because they think it's a better way or they have another idea. And if you take the time to listen, you might either, one, agree with their way, two, modify the way they want to do things, or three, fully say, you know what, you're absolutely right. That way you want to do ABCD is a much better way, and thank you for sharing that. That's fine. And this brings me to a quote I came across recently, that parenting is not a role, parenting is a relationship. Right? So it's not a role that we play. The idea of playing a role means that you come on and come off, right? You don't start and stop. This role doesn't end. Parenting is a relationship, and relationships by default evolve, they change, and over time they're supposed to get deeper and more meaningful, right? So parenting is not a role. Let's stop that. It's not a role that you play. It's a relationship. And hearing that quote really spoke to me, that indeed parenting is a relationship between you, the parent, and the child, and that relationship is going to evolve over the years. Right, we all have friends that were best friends when we were really young, and as we get older, we either fall out and we are no longer friends anymore, or we become really close, or sometimes we're not in touch for years, and when you find yourself maybe on Facebook, you know, the love kind of rekindles and you go on. So with parenting is evolving. Guess what? Your child will not have another parent and you will have many children possibly. But your relationship with each child is very unique. It's very powerful. It's very beautiful. And it's something that you should always work on. So let's go to the first one, D, in discipline. You have to decide what it is you're trying to achieve. Are you just punishing for the sake of it, or are you trying to correct the behavior? With intentional parenting, we want to always be thinking about we're correcting a behavior. So if we're correcting a behavior, you have to think about, okay, let me decide what it is I want out of this particular little segment in the parenting child life, because they're little segments, right? So if you need to correct a particular behavior, you need to decide, what are you trying to achieve? If you're trying to punish or you're trying to correct, you need to be clear. Like we're saying, you want to be more on the side of correcting a behavior. So that means in your mind, you have thought through exactly what it is you want to see instead, right? So when you come from that higher level, it's easier to actually mete out the right consequences to that particular behavior. Because if people constantly spank their children, and I know there's some people that think spanking is the only way to fix things, I'm going to ask you, every child you know who's been spanked, have they turned out great? Have they turned out to be law-abiding, fantastic adults in the future? Not necessarily. And on the flip side, you have some children that were never spanked at all, but they're really well-behaved, they're well-rounded, so it's not either or, right? Necessarily, it's how you apply it. So I don't believe in spanking for the sake of spanking. I believe in disciplining, and that means having a set of consequences that you can mete out to your child so he or she knows that, oh, you know what, this behavior is going to lead to this consequence, and I don't want that consequence, so I'm going to behave, and I understand why my parents want me to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do. So you see how it works? It's a relationship. Then I want you to think about the intention. What's the intention, right? If your intention is to correct, then you want to think about offering solutions. You want to think about alternatives. You want to think about the consequences for the behavior. So if, for example, you've told your child, to do something and he or she just doesn't do it, you want to be very clear and be intentional about it and let them know what the consequences will be. But you have taken the time to explain what you expect. And then when your child either doesn't do it, falls short, you can step in and say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do it that way? We've talked about this. And I had said that if you don't do this, this is what will happen. Once again, that's relationship. You are correcting, you're disciplining, but in a calm way where the child can see the logical flow. Let me give you one example. A child who doesn't shower properly and goes into the bathroom and rushes out, and you can't understand why he just won't take his time to have a bath properly. And you feel that between, halfway through the day, you feel like you're smelling, his underarms are smelly. That's a scenario. And I know some parents could either just smack the child and keep screaming, what's wrong with you? You don't know how to shower. You don't know how to take care of yourself. Or another parent can say, but what exactly is going on? And you might be surprised that the boy, at least in the African context, let's say who has domestic staff, maybe he never actually knew how to bathe himself. Nobody taught him how to, actually give himself a good wash. And he was being showered for by maybe nannies all the way up to maybe 10, when he suddenly became taller than mom and dad, and they thought, oh my goodness, he should start showering himself. And then suddenly you put him in the shower and expect him to know what to do. That's an expectation and assumption. If nobody had taken the time to teach him how to scrub your underarms, how to scrub your face, what to do. So it's a small example, but it's a real example, right, which I've had to deal with before. So you always want to think about that. What's the intention? Can you offer alternatives? And does your child understand exactly what it is that you're correcting? And then I want to go to solutions. Can you offer solutions? And can you come up with it together? This is very powerful, especially as your children start to get older. Get them involved in the conversation. So you can tell the child, for example, but we've talked about this before. All right, what do you think we should do at this time? Because you have, not done what I said you should do. Or I told you to clean your room. You haven't cleaned your room. What exactly is it that, you think we should do in this scenario? Right? Or you tell a child a particular time is screen time limits, a particular time they have to turn their phones in, and maybe the child just doesn't turn it in. You can say, all right, what exactly are we going to do about this? Give them a chance to weigh in. You'll be amazed sometimes what the solution they might come up with is. It could be pretty innovative, right? You don't have to take it, but what you're teaching them is dialogue, the ability to dialogue and talk. And children actually learn negotiation right from home, first of all, before they go anywhere else. They learn it from home, the ability to dialogue, to have conversations, and to discuss with an adult. Okay, then let's talk about communication. You know, I really believe that rules without relationship, it just leads to rebellion, right? So you want to reduce rebellion, you want to reduce a child lashing out, you know, a child reacting negatively as much as possible. And I think sometimes this can be reduced by having good communication skills with your child. And this is where understanding their love language comes in, understanding your parenting style. All of those are really important to improve the communication you have with your child. You know, if your child's love language is quality time and you never spend quality time with him or her, it might be very difficult for that child to feel loved and to feel accepted and to actually comply with the rules in the house. So children need relationship, never forget that, and communication is a big part of that. So if you've never done it, I'm going to put some links in the show notes for you to actually go take a quiz to figure out your parenting style and a quiz to figure out your child's love language, because when those two work hand in hand, it's a really powerful combination. Okay, now let's talk about the next I, which is to inquire. You know, part of relationship and communication is inquiry, which means you're asking questions. You know, you're asking open-ended questions. You're asking questions that encourages your child to let you know how they're feeling, what they're thinking, how they're seeing the world. Don't ever, ever assume. I believe that parenting and good relationship and effective parenting requires that you seek to understand. So seek to understand. And guess what, guys? This is a muscle. The more you work it, the more you build it. So yes, it might feel awkward initially, but once you get used to asking the right questions in the right way, your child appreciates your tone, your child wants to talk to you most of the time, you'll find that it becomes like a muscle, it becomes second nature, and you will learn to always ask why, no matter what it is that comes up. You can take your time to ask why. And even if you were to react, because we're human, sometimes you will react, because your default muscle has been trained that we inquire, we have communication, we talk it out, you will find that you will default back there, and you might come back when you're calmer and say, you know what, let's talk about that again, what exactly happened. Okay, then we'll talk about positivity. Right, you got to have the right attitude. Let's think about growth mindset versus fixed. So if your child doesn't do something right, they don't know how to do it yet, right? They're still learning. So let's think about that. Let's use positive language. Let's give good feedback. Let's give feedback. Imagine you're in an office and your boss is always telling you off and telling you you suck and you can't do your work well and you're so bad at your job. You're going to call it a toxic environment. I'm probably going to be looking for another job, or you should. Right? So you don't want to be doing things or labeling your child, you're an idiot, you're so stupid. You know, no. I believe in fixing the issue and never crushing the child's spirit. So let's have a right attitude when it comes to parenting, disciplining and correcting our children. Let's remember growth mindset over fixed mindset. And a growth mindset means that we are learning. Our children are also learning. Maybe they don't know how to do it yet, or they don't understand it yet. Never see it as your child is just trying to frustrate you for the sake of it. Maybe they are, but most times they're not, right? And then I want to talk about loving. Just be loving, okay? Just love, period. I feel like that's a statement in itself. Just show it so that your child knows that you love them. Once again, this links to the love language. Please figure out your child's love language, because when you know their love language, you can speak to them that way, and their emotional tanks are then full. They feel loved, and they know that no matter what happens, you're doing it from a place of love, right? Don't be one of those parents where the children say, yeah, I guess my parents love me because they bought me food. Anybody could have given them food, right? So you want to make sure that your child knows that you love them. And then intentional parenting are always thinking, are always thinking of why and then thinking of how. So with everything we've said, being intentional means that you're constantly thinking about why am I doing this and then how am I going to do this. Intentional parents also do what's best and not what's easy. Many times in the moment, what's easy might not necessarily be what's best. So you want to make sure that you're keeping that in the back of your mind, that right now, what you're doing, how you're reacting, is it the best or is it the easiest? So a child that's throwing tantrums, for example, there's no point giving in because you just want them to stop throwing a tantrum. You want to think long term. If I give in to this child throwing a tantrum, he or she's going to think that's how to get things done. So you want to always think about what's best long term and not what's easiest in the moment. Let's talk about nature and nurture. We have to nurture our children into their nature. So let's pay attention to the environment in the home. Sometimes children who throw the most tantrums are in homes that are very volatile, or homes where the parents are also always throwing adult-level tantrums. So you want to think about the environment in your home. And if you're seeing some repeated behaviors, in the home, you need to be checking what's going on in our environment. You might need to change some things. So your children's nature, is some of it is inborn, yes, but the nurturing they get in the enabling environment they have at home can either make or break it, can either help them to evolve and build on their strengths, or sometimes it brings out their weaknesses, right? So you want to be sure that your environment is enabling, and you need to constantly be checking and almost doing a scan of your environment. If some behaviors are repeated that you don't like, you want to check what are the adults in the environment doing, because our children feed off what we do and not what we say. And then we want to empower our children. You want to teach them about self-regulation, and the best way to do this is to let your child understand that no emotion in itself is bad. Every emotion is simply an indication, but if indicator rather, so every emotion is just an indicator of something else going on, whether in your environment, within them, how they're feeling, maybe they're tired, it could be anything. But when your child can name it, then they can tame it, they can slay it, and they can correct it, right? I just love that. When your child can name the emotion, they can tame it if they have to, they can slay it, and they can correct it. Because sometimes when your child is angry, it's okay to be angry. Some things happen that you should, the right emotion is anger, not laughter. But you need to teach your children how to handle every emotion and what to do about it. How you feel is okay. It's one thing, it's an indicator, but what you do with that feeling is what's important. So here you empower your child to understand that all emotions, all ranges of emotion are fine. It's what you do with it, and it's how you pay attention to how you're feeling. So acting out for a young child, tantrums, is just emotions that they can't put words to. So you teach them how to use their words. Right? And you can start that from as young as two. If a child is crying and throwing tantrums, don't call it the terrible twos, call it the terrific twos. The child is learning. So you want to teach them to use their words. Just the same way as a child evolves into teenagers and the hormones are raging, teach them to understand how they're feeling in every season or in every moment, and let them deal with it positively so that they don't react. Because you really don't want a teenager, for example, especially in the social media world, being online and however they feel, they go on their phones and they share that with the world. And it might not be the best emotion to share with the world. So you want to teach them self-regulation, because it's something that will go with them long-term into the future. All right, so I know this was a packed episode, and I really love talking about positive discipline, because when you get it right, my goodness, it makes a difference between tension and tantrums and screaming to just a very calm environment where everybody knows what's expected, and everybody knows that their voice is heard, and everybody knows that they can come to the table and have a conversation with their parents and their siblings. And you teach that environment in the home. I mean, you create that environment in the home by teaching it and modeling it regularly. So with that, I hope this was a helpful one, and I would love to hear your comments as well in terms of positive discipline. You know, how do you discipline your children, and what have you maybe picked up from this episode that, you know, is new to you, or you knew, or has reinforced something? So keep on being an intentional parent, and we'll see you back here in the next episode. Thanks for listening.